Morning.
Morning, Sean. How are you doing?
I am doing all right. I'm doing all right.
Excellent. Yeah, we talked a little bit before. You've been up. You had a sleepless night with a couple of dogs in your home, but you're here. That's great. Thank you for that.
Yeah, you've heard of three dog night. Well, I had a two dog night, so
Two dog night. Yes.
one was not the loneliest number. I wished it was one last
Right.
night. That's an old reference that nobody under 50 will get, so that's okay.
Well, you never know, but yes, likely not. So, well,
You
we are over
Oh, I
50.
didn't get to spruce myself up. Luckily, podcast is mostly audio, so
It is. We are on YouTube, of course, too, so people can see us, but
Well, oh well, they'll have to every week they'll see me go, is that the same guy? My
you can't be perfect every morning.
Well, you will look perfect every morning, so
I do not.
I like your shirt, like your look.
Yeah.
What is our theme this morning?
Episode five, eh? Episode
Unbelievable.
five. Wow. Yeah, I'm excited about it. We kind of sometimes we prepare a little bit more. Sometimes it's kind of last minute. This time it was a little last minute, and we decided to go with memories. So as I always do, we read the definition of a memory. It's a noun. The faculty by which the mind stores and remembers information. Something remembered from the past. The remembering or commemoration of a dead person. And the length of time over which a person or event continues to be remembered.
Wow.
Yeah, I like that. I like that last one. I like
Yeah.
that last one because, of course, we build memories every minute, right? I mean, I have a memory of brushing my teeth 15 minutes ago. I have a memory of taking a shower, but those aren't the things that stand out over time, are they? You don't think, oh my God, I remember last summer on July 16th, I had such an amazing shower that day. But
Oh, that toothbrush that morning, the Aquafresh.
oh.
Oh.
Oh, the aqua, and it was a brand new brush, and it just felt so great. No, I mean the things that we remember, of course, are pivotal moments in our lives. They could be feelings of, maybe really euphoric feelings, or they could be feelings of sadness. And we talked about this a little bit before the podcast. We did, I think it was it episode three that we did highs and lows. There is something to say. Maybe this is highs and lows too, but we chose memories because memories are a little bit different than highs and lows. There are highs and lows, of course, in memories, but when I reflected on this one, and I've been, as you know, I do a lot of reading, and the thing that I've been reading about recently is that really, the only thing that we take with us when we leave this place are our memories. You don't it doesn't matter if you have a giant house and $50 million in the bank. You don't take that with you. The only thing that you take are your memories. And the only thing that you really leave behind are the things that people remember about you. And I
Yeah,
think that's
that's right.
that's a powerful thing to realize. I was reflecting on my dad and my memories, of course, and when I reflect on him, I don't think, oh wow, he had a great car, or he had this house, or he had that job. You don't think about those things. You think about the things that define his character. You think about the things that he did for you in your life, and those are the things that you think about. That you think about the characteristics of the person. You don't think about what they bought or what they had, or you think about who they are, and that's the wonderful thing about memories. They're
That's a true fact, even for current thoughts of people. I know people that aren't doing so great, and yeah. I know people that are doing very well financially. Sure. But even as I think of a couple specific people that fit that category, I don't think of them in terms of what they have. I think of them of memories I have of them and things they've done and why I like them or love them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a
and I love them before
thing to reflect on it, right? You know, when you think about it.
Well, you really do just leave a memory. Yeah, you might leave a house to your kids but you think about how few people you leave your physical things to. Like a lot of times it's your children or whatever. Right. Yeah. But the majority of people that we cross paths with, we just leave a memory of ourselves. And you want to make sure that most of those are good.
And you saying that, you know, leads me to the thought that you can leave physical things behind that are memorials of yourself, right? There are certain things that we gather that we attach memories to as well, of course, right? You know, my Joe Namath picture, it has memories attached to it. It has associations attached to it, even though it is a physical thing.
It's true. Because, it's a memory that New York used to have a football team. That is,
yeah, ha, ha, ha. That's so funny. Yeah, how's Pittsburgh doing lately? Anyway.
Okay, touche.
Side bet. Right. Yeah, so we talked about kind of, you know me, logically, I like to kind of do things in a kind of methodical order. And so I've.
And I'm chaos.
All over the place. You can start at the beginning, at the end, the middle, it doesn't matter. I did it over my life. So I kind of did 0 to 10, 10 to 20, 20 to 30, 30 to 40, 40 to 50, and 50 to now. So if you want, I'll start.
I do want you to start.
So when I reflect on my memories from 0 to 10, well, I don't have too many memories from like 0 to 3. I mean, I was born in England, as you know. I spent the first 3 years of my life in England. I can't honestly say I remember that. I don't. My first memories are of living in New Canaan near New York, where we lived. And although I have memories of that, I wouldn't say there are any particular standout moments. I did talk about that, you know, when my dad built that screened in porch, that is a memory, but I think my primary memory of that period in my life is going to the beach. We moved to California when I was 8, and I love the beach. I love the ocean. I was born in July. I'm a Cancer sign. I'm a water sign. I just love everything about the beach. And so when we moved to California, like once the summer came and you were on summer holidays, we went to the beach all the time. Like, it was literally like for a parent, you know, you take your kid to the beach, they're busy all day. You don't have to think about it. They swim in the water. I love being in the sand. I love being in the water. I love being in the waves. I love collecting shells. I loved like hanging out with my friends. And so my fondest memories of that time are being at the beach, like just really just being hot, like feeling warm. And I actually, it's a funny thing, even today. I mean, I usually refer to sunscreen as suntan lotion because, you know, back in the day, like you just fucking lathered on the copper tone and literally like a piece of bacon at the beach. But I have this particular suntan lotion, sunscreen, and it smells like coconut. And I put it on my face. I put it on my face in the winter, in the summer, because it reminds me of the beach. It just like is, and it reminds other people of the beach. Like when I put it on and they smell it, they're like, "Oh, you smell like the beach. Like you smell like suntan lotion." You know, it's just a reminder, and it's an easy thing to do to put myself in a place, because unfortunately in Ontario, yeah, there are some beaches, you know, but I miss that. And yeah, those memories for me, they're kind of just, they're inclusive, but that they're the best part of that period for me.
That's a great memory. And yeah, I can, I could actually picture if you'd have stayed being like a surfer dude, man. I could see you out there with your board and giving the tourist shit to get away. And
yes, exactly.
Putting on president's masks and robbing. No, that's
right. Like,
Well, I'm gonna. It's funny. This has happened to us before.
Yeah.
My memory is very much like yours. Mine is of my cottage. Which was at the beach.
Okay.
Now you are on the Pacific Ocean. I was on the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah.
I'm still on the Atlantic Ocean. I mean, I'm 10 minutes to the beach.
Nice. But
yes, they bought a mom and dad bought a piece of land on Northumberland Strait.
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah.
Water between New Brunswick and Prince Edward Island.
Beautiful.
And my grandfather bought a lot. I think they paid $200 each for these lots that were like 100 feet from this beautiful, gorgeous beach. And it was a cow field or a farmer's field. Yeah. And I think they had the option to buy them all.
Yeah.
And if they had of,
oh
we'd
my
be
God.
Retired now.
Of course.
What that stuff's worth now. Right. But anyway, so they bought it. They put a trailer on it and it grew. Eventually, my dad had the whole thing.
Yeah. And
he bought a storage barn, he got them to build this. There's a company called Graves Storage Barns, and he got them to build an extra large version of it. And he put that in, he built a cottage inside, eventually put a wing on it. This was a cottage by a cottage. This was a cottage, very rough. Like we did eventually have electricity. We had a septic system. Eventually a lot of my memories as a young man was going to the outhouse, you know.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And there's a picture of me and my cousin standing in the new, they dug a new outhouse hole. So we were standing in it before they put the outhouse over it.
Okay.
And they used to literally, they would do anything to scare the shit out of people. Somebody go in the outhouse and they had this big steel metal pole. They come up and smack the side of it as hard as they could and get them to scream and holler. And
oh man,
as a child you were scared to death, like
you
literally go in with your cousin and shit together or whatever, because you know you're 5 or 6 or whatever, right? And you look for the spiders and like but I have that cottage. I could tell very sad about it because my dad sold it. He got money problems and sold it when I was in my early 20s. And my sister and I just talked about this. He sold away our childhood. Like he did what he did. It's not my business, I guess. But I would do anything if I could have that moment back and stopped him, because it was everything to us. And I wish my children had grown up there. Like we spent all our time there. The beach was beautiful. We would go for. The sandbars went out so far there. You could walk for miles out on the bars, and we would dig clams, and we would play baseball out on the sand, and we would collect sea glass, and then it would storm, and we'd go in the waves over our head, and we'd go swimming, and we'd see the northern lights out there all the time. We had bonfires every night. I remember waiting at the cottage, looking up the road when I knew my grandparents were coming, waiting to see their car or my Uncle Ed. And it's just nothing but good, man. And that was a young man's memory, but I also took my friends there as a teenager.
Yeah.
And I spent some times with my wife, and she was my girlfriend. Some of my most romantic times, some of my best times were in this little trailer my grandfather gave me. And it was an amazing place. I tie a lot of my first 20 years to that place. So it's a good memory. So
that's a great share. Beautiful. Thank you. And I've been to the Northumberland Strait when we went to PEI, and it was just wonderful because it is so shallow. The water gets so warm in the summer. I think it's up like close to 80 degrees. And
it
was the same. We went to this place called West Point. And it was just sand dunes as far as you could go out. And we played football in the water and, you know, crashed around in the waves a little bit. And I've fond memories of the Northumberland Strait as well. And
that's cool.
I'm planning to come back and we'll go and visit the Northumberland Strait together. So
was the Confederation Bridge there when you visited?
It was, yeah.
It was.
Okay. Yeah. Quite an experience.
I remember when that got built, speaking of memories, and I would take the ferry over for work and watching this thing get built. And I used to say to people, by 2025, this is going to be just a relic. It's going to be destroyed, and we're going to just look at it. We're going to be back on the ferry. I never dreamt it would work. So
right. There you go.
I was right, as usual.
Yes. Yes, you were.
Oh, well. Okay. Well, that's great.
Yes, thank you. Okay, 10 to 20 for me.
Okay.
I mean, it's weird, but the first thing that comes to mind, and this is, of course, a family-friendly show, but the first thing that comes to mind is losing my virginity.
Oh, I hope to do that soon.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me tell you, it's a wonderful experience. Given the right circumstance, of course, yeah, I mean, I can remember it like it was yesterday. Could have been this morning. Like it's, you know, I met this incredible, beautiful young woman. She went to another high school in town, and I had run into her a couple of times, and she had a boyfriend. And, but I didn't, that wasn't stopping this guy. I didn't profess my love, but I professed my, I don't know, my
lust,
desire. My lust. Yeah, that would probably be a better description. And, yeah, she ended up breaking up with him. I thought he was going to kill me. because he was a big dude. He was a big hockey guy, and I was not a big hockey guy. I was a, you know, skinny little guy kind of thing. But yeah, we eventually we got together and we were in love. And yeah, I you know, it's just yeah, it was a beautiful day. Let me put it that way. And it sticks out from 10 to 20 for sure.
Oh,
it's not, of course, the only memory I have from that time. I have other, you know, I have other really good memories of travel. I think one of the things that I do remember is a trip to England, Scotland, when I was 18 with my family, and have a very fond memory. And there is a kind of there is an overlying thing here that follows throughout my decades of travel. Travel for me is wonderful. I just think there's so many beautiful places in the world to visit and to see. I love the experiences that those things provide and the memories. Again, it's not, you know, the day-to-day stuff, like we talked about brushing your teeth, it's not going to be a memory. But when you go somewhere and you see different things and you really immerse yourself in different cultures, those things. So yeah, I went on this trip to England. It just was a great bonding time for me and Dad. We played golf in Scotland. You know, I told this story yesterday. We were on this golf course. We were staying in like a castle that was like a bed and breakfast, and we played golf. And on the, we get to like the third hole, and there's a herd of sheep in the middle of the golf hole.
Wow.
And my dad's like, well, what are we going to do now? And I said, well, I turn to him. I'm like, I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to hit a driver over top of those sheep. And I'm not concerned. So I blast one over the sheep. No problem. And he's like, I'm going to kill a sheep. If I, I'm like, wow. I don't know what you want to do right now. So
they moved
along and he hit his ball, but just great memories there. Wonderful experiences and travel. So those were a couple of highlights.
Wow. It's great memories. I hope you get to have sex again someday.
Yes. Yeah, I do too.
But yeah, I mean, that's a great memory. And I understand why you brought that memory up. Because I just remember when I started thinking about girls. Oh my goodness. They consumed my every thought.
Like
every thought. I remember I had Heather Thomas from The Fall Guy on my wall and a pink.
Me too. You mentioned that in a previous podcast. We didn't circle back to that, but I don't, like, oh my God.
I used to just stare and say, oh, why can't you come alive? Why can't you?
I know. Oh my gosh.
I can't believe I'm going to admit this, but we used to get the Publisher's Clearinghouse package where you could order magazines and join a lottery you're never going to win. I ordered Playboy to the house.
Yeah.
I was like 14 or 15.
Right.
Somehow thinking it would sneak by my mom.
Sure.
of course she got the first one.
Yeah.
And right to my dad. And
right.
And I remember her saying to this day, I remember, where does he get this side? And I'm like, and I think dad was like, well, he's a man. I think that's about it, you know? And yeah. Of course, my father and mother had a baby at 15. So I think I got the side from my father's side. I mean, but it's every guy. I said that to my wife one time. I said, your dad was the same way. I know he's this religious staunch guy now, but I'm sure in his younger days, he felt the same way. We are, as a species, that's how we procreate. That's how we, that's why there's 10 billion of us, because we lust yeah. after the other side, you know?
Yeah.
But girls to me were just, it's all I could think about. I was such a great student, but then in high school, I thought about girls. I got into a little bit of soft drugs. I bought a Harley, you know, and I didn't care about school anymore.
It's hard. Yeah.
But I realize now, by not staying longer in school and college, not going to university, like where else do you see that many girls or that many people, period? Like you, as soon as you leave that 1,000 people,
yeah,
that's it. You don't, that doesn't happen again.
No.
Like it's, I mean, my memories of that time, I mean, I wrote down a few. Mm-hmm. Buying my first Harley at 16, I bought it off my dad. That meant a lot to me. I remember putting my girlfriend, now wife, on the back of it, and mom and dad on another Harley, and we took off to Halifax to go to a motorcycle run.
Yeah.
And my bike broke down right away. And
right.
the big joke was, well, you gotta be careful who you buy your bikes from, son. And of course I bought it from dad. And
right.
We couldn't find out. We changed the alternator and the starter, and it turned out to be the stator, you know, like $900 later that I didn't have. And this motorcycle got working. It had a big kickstart on it. You threw your leg over and you kicked it over, and it rumbled to life, this 1200 shovel head, man. And oh my God, I'm embarrassed to say this. I'm not a racist person, but I used to wear this Confederate flag bandana because I liked the way the flag looked, not because it meant anything to me, you know. And I thought I was the coolest thing on two wheels, man. I just loved it. It was fine at 90, and it was fine over 110. But between 90 and 110, it would shake your fillings right out of your teeth. It was, and the cops would stop me all the time, because I'm at high school on a Harley. Like it made no sense. I looked like I was a card carrying member of the Hell's Angels, and I was in grade 10, you know, like it was crazy. And I worked full time to pay for that bike. I went to school in the day, and then went to my grandfather's for supper, and then to work at 4:30, and then work till 1 a.m. And I had a union card, and I loaded trucks for IGA. And
you
know what? I got nothing but good memories of all of it. I was exhausted, but I was very, very happy. I was dating my wife. My gosh, we lived out in the country. My memories were mostly good. My family started to fall apart then, and there's a lot of bad memories too that happened around then. But we had this moment, you know, there was a moment where I thought the world was perfect.
Lots of good stuff in that. And, you know, I think in hearing that, you can create your own memories, of course. Right. And I think like you did that in that you had this kind of, you know, thought, maybe it was probably of your dad, you know, riding his bike, and that you wanted to be like him, and you saved the money and you did the things you needed to do. And yeah, there are certainly, you know, we talked about it just a moment ago, that like you don't take material possessions with you, but there are things that, you know, experiences and memories that you can make for yourself when you buy something that you like, that you care about, and you set a goal and you get to that. And that's a great memory. I can visualize it. You kind of say it so clearly. I can see you on your bike with Sean on the back, and
oh yeah,
you know, your parents riding beside you. It's awesome. That's a great.
Even as I had Harleys and we got older, my favorite memory to this day of all my memories, I believe, is just riding down the highway with one hand. I'd put it on her shin, like hold her leg and ride and ride, and that was the happiest feeling in the world. the wind in our hair. She loved the back of the motorcycle, and she would hug me, and I just hold her leg, and anyway, I'm gonna cry if I think about it. I don't know if my health and finances will let it happen again, but it's a good memory. So,
and you know, I was talking with some people about there's a scale of happiness. I'll share it with you afterwards, but you know, it's kind of like 1 to 22. 22 at the bottom is like is fear and you know, difficulty, and then at the top, number one is love and happiness. And you can move yourself up and down that scale. Like if you are maybe not feeling great today or tomorrow or whatever, when you think about that memory and just imagine yourself on the bike in that spot and put your hand on your wife's shin, it'll bring you up. Like it will. And that's the wonderful thing about memories is you can reflect on them and they can bring you up into a happy place.
Yeah, it's a good. I never thought of it that way, but you're right.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah,
awesome,
right on, brother. Okay,
what's next?
20 to 30. 20 to 30 for me. When I reflected on it, I think a lot of the stuff that happened for me that was kind of good stuff was closer to 30. But I would say in my early 20s, I was waffling a bit. Like I didn't know what I wanted to do. I find myself at university, but I really didn't care that much about it. I didn't feel like I felt a little lost in my early 20s for sure. I didn't know who I was very well. I didn't know what I wanted. But at the tail end of it, I got married, which was great. I got married at 30. Met a wonderful woman you know, in a way, I'll be honest and say that I felt like I needed to get married. Like it was kind of like all my friends were getting married, and I know it seems strange to say, but I do like having a partner. I don't do that well on my own. I need someone to love and to love me and a partnership and to share memories, I guess, ultimately. But yeah, 30, I got married and that was beautiful. And then, you know, shortly after we bought a house. And so those are great memories. And, you know, I was laughing about it this morning, thinking about it. We paid $169,000 for this house. Beautiful 3-bedroom Victorian home. Like,
wow.
I was thinking about like the price of things today and just reflecting on that. But yeah, so 20 to 30, a bit of a mixed bag for me, but the tail end of it was positive, and I was feeling, you know, I have some great memories at the tail end of it.
I'm glad you have good memories of your marriage. You know, I mean, I know it didn't last, but you know, yeah. If you had good memories of it, that's okay. You guys, it's not like a black spot in your life, you know, so
no,
sure,
no,
it was good for her too. The my 20s to 30s, you know, I have good memories of that time. It's when I became a father, you know.
Yeah.
I also bought my first home, a 3-bedroom bungalow. I paid $63,000 for it.
Right. Yeah.
It'd be worth probably $300 today. I wish I had I still wish we lived there. I upgraded to a house that Shonda wanted. I'm not blaming her. I'm glad I bought it for her, but I wish we were still there. But yeah, I was a young father.
Yeah.
Shonda got pregnant. We were 19.
Yeah.
We got married before she had the baby. And we didn't tell anybody. But of course, as soon as we told people, it was a lot of, oh, we knew it. We knew she must be pregnant. And
of course.
And a lot of people bet against this. I got to tell you, a lot of people didn't think we were going to make it. And yeah. In a couple months, we're going to have our 35th anniversary. It's been not easy for her, especially, but I have good memories of that time. I'm not sure I created good memories. I was having a hard time finding my way.
Mm-hmm.
Person. I had two young boys. I had a job. I was working with my dad, which isn't easy working with your dad. It's not what I wanted to do. I had to travel for a living. I didn't want to do it. But I had to pay for the, I sold my Harley and bought a fridge and a stove, and we rented a couple places, and then we lived with dad and mom for a couple years, and then we finally bought our home, and we've had our own home ever since. But yeah, I could have been a better dad. I could have been a better husband. I gained a lot of weight. I got on the road. I quit smoking. I started eating McDonald's every day. Stopped exercising. I got really big, which made me really unhappy with myself. Just hated myself. Like, couldn't look myself in the mirror, and I was sweating all the time and just not happy. And, you know, so it wasn't, but I had a lot of good memories. I mean, I spoiled my kids, especially at Christmas. And I remember them opening Super Nintendos and presents and the smiles on their faces. And I bought my wife a lot of jewelry when I started making a little bit of money. And I finally bought her the ring that she deserved years later. You know, we went to Florida, and I took the kids to NASCAR races and hockey games, and we had good memories, and good memories of being around the house with my sister and her son. But I can't say it was a great time in my life. It should have been a lot better. I guess that's the way to say it. I have a lot of regrets that I know that doesn't help having regrets, but I have them, and it's caused me a lot of pain, but it can't, you know, you have a 0% chance of having a better past. So
that's true. It is what it is. And
it is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And you did your best, of course, right?
Yeah. I guess that's the only way to look at it. Whether it was good or bad is pointless. It was the best I could do. I was a kid raising kids, making a lot of adjustments on the fly, sure. not really knowing who I was. I wish I could have this brain and that body and
of course.
Do
yeah.
I'd love to have it.
It can be a kind of like seat of your pants kind of time, right? When a lot of things are happening and you're in it and you're just doing you and
just trying to survive. Let my parents influence me way too much.
Yeah.
I should have put my focus on my family, and but I thought my parents were something they weren't. I had them on pedestals, so I made some bad decisions, but anyway, it is what it is.
Yeah.
So 40s and 50s.
30s to 40s.
Oh, I skipped a whole decade.
Yeah. You're just blowing that one off. I mean, honestly, like a couple of these ones in the middle, they do feel like, you know, I was just kind of really busy doing, you know, at the tail end of the 20s and early 30s, my dad and I also bought a business, a farm and garden supplies business. So just as you mentioned, I worked with my dad. Difficult for sure. 100% difficult. My brother then came on board. Also very difficult.
Wow.
You know, I was basically my brother's boss and my dad was my boss. Like you can imagine the hierarchy of that.
Yeah.
That looks, right. I worked very hard in that period. I did very much enjoy that business. I met a lot of great people. I felt like I was really providing a great service. It felt true to who I was. And I have a lot of good memories of working there. No question. I mean, I worked all through those years. I mean, we owned it for almost 20 years. So
I was in that business.
What's that?
I visited you there one time.
You did. Yeah. You and Mike, I think.
Yeah. We just dropped in. I
dropped in.
Yeah.
I mean,
I remember you standing there.
I can't remember whether there were chickens there that day. Maybe there were, or maybe that was Dave Purdy. He came by and it's like, why are there chickens all over your front?
I don't remember chickens. I don't remember.
Yeah, chickens. We used to sell chickens. People would order chickens and they'd come chickens, ducks, turkeys, pheasants. There'd be like thousands of them in these little boxes, one day old chickens. They would come in, they'd be holding them. Some would go on the floor. They'd be running around. Sometimes you'd get like Italian people coming in and they're grabbing their chickens, stuffing them into feed bags, and they'd fall, jump out of their trunk and run around the yard. It was like, it was crazy. But
like little chickadees, like little yellow ones?
Chicks, yeah.
Oh, that's so funny.
So, yeah, I have a lot of fond memories of that time, definitely. My first wife, Alexandra, Alex, we vacationed every year to Florida. So in February, we'd go for 3 weeks to Florida. So I started to get my my beach fix again back in the 30s. So I enjoyed that very much.
On the better ocean too. So that's cool.
some would argue. A little colder, but yeah, a little. And the waves aren't quite as good. Although we were, you know, most Canadians, when they go to Florida, they go to the Gulf side. They like the peaceful, warm waters. We were on the Atlantic side. We were near Daytona Beach.
Oh, I love Daytona.
St. Augustine area.
Yes, that's where Dad always went.
St. Augustine's the oldest city in North America. North.
Love that place. Love
modern version. Yeah, beautiful.
Roger Whitaker's from there. I always remember that.
Oh, wow. Roger.
I don't know why.
Yeah. I didn't know that. My parents loved Roger Whitaker.
Mine too. Mine too. What, Roger Whitaker's Christmas? Oh, my God.
Oh, boy. Yeah, we listen to that every year. No question. we digress. Those are fond memories, though, of Roger Whitaker.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Darcy the Dragon.
I think that's probably, you know, that's probably the summary of my 30s and 40s. You know, I did get divorced at the end of those years. I guess I would have been 37 or 38. And, that, you know, that was obviously difficult, but necessary. I don't regret getting divorced, to be honest. I don't hold that as like something. I mean, I'm not proud of it, of course, but it wasn't working. And so we moved on, and I think we're both probably better for it. So yeah, I think those are probably the highlights. Kind of a bit of a blur those years, but good memories in there too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, going to Florida every year and owning that business. I mean, that's a good memory. I know for me, it was more just an extension of my 20s. But, you know, I always feel like I'm bringing the podcast down, but I just, you know, we had a lot of negative things happen. You know, I remember some things the whole world remembers. I remember Y2K, like it was yesterday. My mom and dad were at my house, and we watched Australia was going to be the first one affected. You know, we watched the light. And everything was okay. Mom and dad were I think they stayed at my place for New Year's because we were worried about Y2K. We were together. And,
oh, weird. That was so crazy. And you know, I got to just quickly interject. We were at a party at Mike's house.
Wow. Wow.
And you know what we did? We went to the main breaker at midnight, and we shut the main breaker off, and all the power went off, and we're like, oh my God.
Oh, that's
everybody
funny. That's hilarious.
Everybody flips it back on. Just kidding.
Three people have shot themselves. What a joke. Oh my God. That sounds like you guys. I can see totally. You laughing when you did it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And I remember 9/11 very well.
Of course. Yeah.
Like I was in my office. Shonda was washing dishes, and she had the news on, and she just said, she wasn't even watching it. She heard it. She said, oh, a plane ran into the Trade Center. And I went, oh, that's odd. Yeah. I didn't even go out. I thought like a little tiny twin engine plane ran into the side of the buildings, and I thought, oh, that's stupid. And then she said another one, and I went, what? And I went out, and of course we all know what happened. I mean,
oh my God, it's my hair on my arm stand up as soon as you say that. I remember, I was at my business too. We had a TV in the office, and we happened to turn it on because we had like 10:30 break. We'd have a coffee and a sandwich or something. We turned it on, and we were like, what is going on? And then people started filtering into the store. They're like, did you hear? And it was just like, you were just like in shock. Like, what the hell is going on? It was a
remember
real...
when the buildings fell? When they, I mean, oh my God. I watched them fall live, and you, and,
me too, me too.
And you just thought of all the people.
It was devastating. Unbelievable.
And yeah, my hair standing up too. I mean, it was such a terrible thing. And then we were affected because like Moncton started getting plane after plane after plane of people.
And
Newfoundland, I know there's a Broadway play about what Newfoundland did. I mean, they took in 10,000 people, but Moncton, we didn't get that kind of, you know, recognition, but we took in a lot. I mean, there was planes that I'd never seen that big in Moncton. Like, you know, everybody was taking people in, and it, you know what, let's face it, the world changed. It's never been the same.
100%.
Never been the
same. So close to home.
Terrorists caused terror, and they managed to cause terror. They just... Absolutely.
Yeah, there was a lot of fear after that, and that was a very, very memorable day, no question about it.
Yeah, it was living through history, even though it was bad history. And you know, and you know, I lost. Dad had a terrible Sea-Doo accident and killed my cousin. She was only like 13.
Wow.
And that ruined our family for a long time. And Her mom had already lost her husband in an army accident, so she was just devastated. And dad broke half his body, and they basically told us he was dead. The minister came in to give him his last rites, but he survived, but it was hell. And not too much later, my mom committed suicide. And my life was just, it was just tragedy after tragedy after tragedy. And I found my mom. My dad called me, and he was in High Point, North Carolina at a furniture show. And he said he couldn't find her and asked if I could find her. And I did. And you know what? It's been 21 years and I still haven't got over it. It still haunts my nightmares. And Shonda was with me. And, you know, I remember it like it happened yesterday, Chris, like yesterday. Like, I remember every detail. I remember them coming to get her and the police. And they didn't find a note at first. So the police were there. And they were talking to me like I might have done something.
Wow.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I called them and said she was gone, but they didn't find a note. So they thought me, they weren't sure that I hadn't done something to my mother. And my dad wasn't, my dad was missing too. He wasn't there. And I called my sister, and she just fell to the ground, and she didn't even come up. She couldn't even leave work. She was frozen. And my family's never been the same. So I can't think of a lot of good ones of that time. There was just, there were good memories for sure, but the bad ones have just wiped them out of my head. I just, the bad ones overpowered them too much. So anyway, that's unfortunately negative stuff that we can talk about more on another podcast, but that's the touch on it anyway.
No, thank you for sharing it. It's, I hope that, you take maybe a little bit of solace in just talking about it. I know that expressing it, it helps. I can't imagine, Sean, of course. I think most people can't imagine what that feels like. And yeah, I memories, well, as we've touched on, they're both good and bad. They tend to be momentous occasions in our life. I love you and you're a wonderful human being. And I'm sorry that you had to go through that, of course.
I appreciate that, man.
Certainly it would affect anyone in a very deep and meaningful way for sure. And, I know that we've talked about it before, and I'm sure that you take solace in the fact that she loved you and that, she did the best she could too. So
she did. She was going through a lot. The one thing I'll say about suicide is it is the guilt that it leaves on people.
Of course.
I blame myself for so much.
Sure.
And it's also the waste of, someone gets killed in an accident or dies. It's awful.
Yeah.
When someone takes their life, it's just like, I think about like my sons have both bought houses and gotten married. And I just think about my mom should have been there, she should have been there. And it's stuff like that. And I think what happens is just constantly create, every time something happens, she should have been at graduations, birthdays. And you're just like, oh man, like,
yeah, look, I mean,
it is what it is.
But my thought is that, or my hope and my thought is that she's probably watching over you still, and that she sees the good things that you're doing, and that she recognizes that she caused you a lot of hardship. But I hope that she.
I hope so. I was talking to my sister about it last night, oddly enough, because my aunt just died, and we had some things that we were sharing, and I was actually saying mom would probably be disappointed in me. And my sister just was having none of that. She just didn't believe that's how mom thought of me at all. So, but we create these weird thoughts in our heads. So
we do. So,
but okay. Well, I appreciate what you said. I would like to talk about it more. Maybe we can do a podcast just about my mom or just about our moms and dads someday. That would be a good one.
That'd be great.
I know we got our 50s to talk about, and you have to talk about your 60s. So we'll
Back it up. We could do, I think I could probably do 40 to now.
Yeah.
Highlights for me, of course, I got married again the second time. My second wife, Christine, is a wonderful, beautiful human being, and yes, I love her very much. And I had three wonderful stepsons. Of course, that was a wonderful part of my life. It was very fulfilling for me. Of course, the regret that I have in that is that I never had my own kids, but they were the closest thing. Walker was two when we met, so he was a little baby. And I actually talked about it the other day, too. It's interesting how these things kind of come about, and now we're talking about it today. But one of my fondest memories is very early on, we went for a hike, Christine and I and the boys, and Walker was two, and he was in a backpack on my back.
Wow.
And yeah, I mean, he, you know, he could kind of speak, but he not great, right? And I just remember him kind of chattering in my ear on the hike, and yeah, it's just a beautiful memory. And I saw him the other day. He's as tall as I am, and his voice is getting deeper. And crazy. He's just a wonderful kid. Like, they're all great kids. I hope that I've had an influence on them.
I'm sure you have.
They're just really solid guys. They're, they're steadfast in their kind of work ethic, and they have good friends, and they have solid relationships. They're very communicative. They're honest. They're open. So I
see them every day.
I take great pride in that, you know.
They're on my refrigerator.
Is it? Oh, beautiful. Yes, that's right. Thank you. Yeah.
I see them every day.
I see them every day too. I'll have to get an updated picture though. That was that is like literally 15 years. Like it's old.
It's old, yeah.
Yeah. So I'll get an updated one. They're all three of them. Well, Jackson and Ethan are both taller than me, and Walker is as tall as me now. So compared to that photo.
I love their names.
Yeah, they have great names.
And Walker. Great Walker, name.
Jackson, yeah.
Where, and just, I've never really asked, is their dad in the picture?
Yes, he is. Yeah, Jordan is their dad. Jordan's a good guy. He's had his own stuff too, but he's in a good place. And they visit with him, and he's been there for them. And he's, he's a great guy. We had an open relationship. He would spend time with us. He would have dinners with us. We had a good.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we had a good relationship. I likened us like, you know, when Demi Moore and Bruce Willis split up, and then she was with Matt Kuchar. Like, I was like Matt Kuchar, or I could have been both. I could have been Bruce Willis. You know, either one were good options. But we had that kind of blended family thing.
Somewhere in the middle.
Exactly.
But the kids had two dads. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, why not?
No. Two
dads. Yeah.
Yeah. Between the two of us, I think we did a good job providing some male influence on them. And, you know, yeah, again, I worked hard through those years. I did transition away from Schaumburg Supplies. I'd been, like I said, 18 years in retail. It's a lot. Lots of grind, man. And I couldn't do it anymore. Of course, in this time, my dad passed away. Which was very difficult. Really, I watched him die in our living room, so it was not a pleasant experience at all. I don't wish that on anyone, but the reality is it's going to happen to everyone. Everyone, hopefully, because you don't want to die before your parents. That's for damn sure. Neither do your parents want that either. But yeah, I watched my dad die. I've come to terms with it in the recent years, but I struggled with it very, very. It was a very difficult time for a long time. 10 years, I struggled with it. It didn't lead to my addictions, but it certainly enhanced my alcohol consumption. I think I carried it around like a burden.
Absolutely.
But yeah, great memories, you know, and we had another house, a couple houses along the way here, but I think we've talked about it too. Like I'm a homebody. I like a home. I like the peace that I get in a home. I like to feel a connection with the home. I like to feel safe and secure in that home. And we had a wonderful home, and we had a wonderful environment to raise those boys. So, those years were great. Were great years. And two real strong memories for me. Christine's French, born in France. We went to the south of France twice during that time. I just loved it. It was such an amazing place. Like, again, it was the ocean. Now I'm on the Mediterranean, Sean. Like,
wow.
Mediterranean, man. Like, It's not a sandy beach. It's a pebbly beach, which isn't so great for walking. And there's, you know, there's no shells or anything. But man, I used to get up in the morning before everybody was awake. Half the town would still be asleep. It's 6 o'clock in the morning. It's August, so it's hot already. I'd go for a run down the cobblestone streets, make my way through town, and I'd circle back, and then I'd strip down naked and I'd jump into the Mediterranean in the morning. And man, I tell you, I wouldn't, if I could do that every day, I would be the happiest man on earth. It was,
wow.
What a fucking memory, man. And there's a huge rock face, called the Cap de Canai.
I'll look it up.
Literally like a 500 foot straight drop rock face. And one morning I decided I was running to the top, and I made my way up and I got to the top. I'll send you a picture of it. And I sat there overlooking this small, you know, south of France fishing village. And I just thought, man, the world is perfect right now. Like, this doesn't get any better than this. And
oh, wow.
Slowly jogged my way back down and did the same thing, stripped down. You know, nudity in France is so totally acceptable. So getting naked at the beach wasn't a problem. There was hardly anybody there, but nobody cared whether they could see my bare bottom or not.
Oh, that's but, funny.
Man, then I'd get out of the water, I'd dry off, I'd go to the patisserie or the boulangerie. I can't quite place the right name right now, but the bakery. And I'd buy some baguettes and some chocolate croissants, and I'd get home and make the coffee, and everybody would slowly get up, and we'd have.
Oh my God, it sounds awesome.
Isn't it? Like,
awesome.
Oh, buddy. Great, great. Wonderful, wonderful memories. So travel for me, I think it's a big one. It really, it can provide so many beautiful moments. And yeah, I look forward to traveling some more in the next few years. I haven't been traveling very much lately, but I'm looking forward to making some more memories in the years to come with some travel. So
that's a great, great memory. Travel for me is not a good memory. I don't like traveling. I like the destinations. I sure. hate the travel days. Like, I hate them. Hate them. No. Don't like airports. Don't like planes. Not scared of them. Just don't like them.
It's just part of the process is the way I look at it. But yeah, and I don't think most people like that part of it. But
no, you're right. You're right. I make too big a deal out of it. But for a long, it's not as bad as, I'm not like as bad as I used to be when I was a really big guy. I mean, I lost 120 pounds. I was a big guy when you met me, and
yeah.
You know, getting on planes was hard. The seats didn't fit. You had to ask for a seatbelt extension. It was embarrassing. I was hot. I couldn't walk a lot. Like, it was not good. It was not good.
That's not fun.
I remember being down south. We'd go to trips with Kingsdown, my company, and you know, it was so hot, and you know, I was trying to help out with Mike and help out with the details, and you know, anyway. But I have some good, most of my really exotic trips, like Aruba, and Jamaica. Ooh, I wanna take and Kokomo, and we went to St. Lucia and Dominican. Those were all with Kingsdown. Mike took us. When we had fun, Shonda loved them. We don't get to go anymore, but those are most of our exotic trips. And I went to Florida on my own and did some motorcycle trips, which I've talked about. But yeah, I haven't, you know, both of my kids have been to Europe. I really want to go to England and France and all that, but I've never been. And I hope so. My wife loves to travel. She would do it for, you know, she actually was going to be a stewardess when I met her. That was her.
Wow.
And
awesome. Yeah.
I decided she was going to be a mom, you know, because she looked right. She looked a little too good in that skirt that day. So that was her. That's her fault, not my fault. I had some strokes in my fifth. Turning 50 was hard on my health. I've had 5 operations. I had 3 strokes. And the strokes have wiped out my short-term memory and screwed with my emotions. And I beat an addiction, which is good, but
that's, you know,
it is, but it took a lot out of me, man. It changed me, and I haven't quite figured myself out since. So, and anyway, that's one of the reasons I'm doing this podcast. I'm trying to figure some shit out. So
I would argue that it changed you for the better. I think you probably would too.
I think, yeah, I think it probably did. I started a support group that I won an award for, and it stopped with COVID, but I'm starting it again the first week of June. I got it all finally arranged. I got the spot arranged, and I'm looking forward to that again. I actually got a text yesterday about it
Great.
from someone who didn't even know I was starting it again. I couldn't believe it. They just said, "Any chance life rings around?" I said, "Well, good timing. Good timing." The
That,
funny part is,
that's not a coincidence either.
I don't know who it was. I didn't want to ask. They were texting me like I knew them, but I didn't come up a name. So I was just like, "Yeah, man, that's great."
Perfect. Helping a random person, which is even better.
Just out of the blue. So.
Yeah, I mean, look, I have the same stuff in the last few years. I mean, I had started with the, just a 50 plus. We kind of skipped and grouped it all together. But of course, I have some very difficult memories in the last few years after
Yeah.
Christine and I split up. I went into a very, very dark chasm.
Yes, you
But
did.
I pulled myself out of that. I've gotten, I've gotten clean and sober, and I think
You're the best version of you I think you've ever been.
100%. I was about to say that. So you took the words right out of my mouth. I've never felt fitter than I feel right now. I eat well. I exercise regularly. My daily practices are very, very fulfilling, and I'm doing the things I need to do every day. I pray, I meditate, I exercise, I eat well, I work, I am honest, I'm open, I'm communicating, I'm helping others. And you put all those things. I mean, I've been doing some puzzles lately. We did puzzles. We actually played, speaking of memories, we played a lot of games when I was a kid. I think that was something that families did. Like
That's cool.
you didn't isolate in your room like maybe a lot of kids do these days. We did family stuff. We did. We hung out together, and it was a lot of times it was games, Yahtzee. We played a lot of Yahtzee, Rummy. But we did puzzles and stuff. And I went back to it. I went to the Goodwill. They have puzzles for like $5. You're always worried that there might just be one piece missing, but I'm telling you, somebody must put them together and then put them in the box, because both of the ones I bought they're all complete. But
Well, talk to Shonda. We build puzzles. We build puzzles every day, and we have forever. Shonda's built 9,000 piece puzzles.
9,000. Wow, man, I just finished 1,000, but a 9,000, man,
She's got one. She's got one finished downstairs. I'll take a picture and send it to you. But
that
anyway,
would take months,
it
wouldn't it?
does. I had to build her a
Oh my
special
God.
board to build it on. It's huge.
Wow. So I think, I
Look.
was reflecting on doing puzzles the other day, and the reality of life and of like self and of kind of improving oneself. It's a puzzle. There's so many pieces that you have to put together in order to sort of be in a really good place. It doesn't come automatically. We go through stuff in our lives. Every human being suffers in varying degrees, some more than others, of course. And you build up stuff that it gets attached to you, that you keep in your mind, that you think about, that you worry about, that you regret, the past, the present, the future. The reality is that if you can slowly put the pieces of the puzzle together, man, like I know it's part of the point. One day at a time, just living one day at a time, and try to put as many pieces of that puzzle together every day. Can be very fulfilling. It can,
Well
I
said.
feel very content and peaceful. I love talking to you every Wednesday. I love talking. We do our gratitudes again, which is great. It just, there's a
Yeah.
lot of good stuff going on right now. And every difficulty and every highlight and everything in my life has led me to this moment. And so I'm just grateful to be here today, man. I'm grateful to have the sunshine on my forehead like an angel as
Yeah,
happened with
I
the
can tell.
podcast. And I'm very happy and peaceful and content today. So,
Well, that's good.
yeah.
I'm a little bit behind you and all that stuff, but I'm working on it, and this is
I'm
helping.
rubbing off on you.
You're trying.
I
But
am.
it's all good, man. I'm happy with the podcast. Very happy, and I've had some good reactions from it already, which made me feel like $1 million. And
Amazing, man. It's so
we
good.
I feel like it's getting better every week. And
We're getting there.
for a couple old guys that didn't know what they were doing, I think we're doing all right,
Doing all right. We're doing the best we can. Let's put it that way.
right. And I think it will get better. I think we'll get some effects, and we'll get this and that, and Yeah,
I mean, I put a call into the Dalai Lama as a guest on our. I haven't heard back just yet, but I'm hoping like next couple of weeks. So, you know, he could
well,
be. Oh
I sent one to Shania Twain, so we'll see. We'll see.
wow, okay. Well, that's probably more realistic.
I don't know.
This
I
lady, the Canadian card. She lives in Switzerland. I'm half Swiss, man. Like that. Like I don't know.
Oh,
Those two things put together. Like
Canada, Switzerland.
this is.
I was obsessed with her for a while. I mean,
I like her music too. So, you know,
Oh, she plays music. Oh,
she does. She
interesting.
is a singer. Yeah. She's put a couple of songs together.
But yeah, she was a good memory for me. I loved that woman for a while.
Yeah. And what a story. Great. Such a great story, right?
Unbelievable.
Raised her brothers and sisters, right? Like
Yeah, yes, she did. Yeah, she had a rough old go of it, man. And then she got the world by
And
the
then where's
tail.
she
And then her,
from? She's from Northern Ontario.
yeah, Timmins.
Yeah.
Yeah, Timmins. That's way up there. I
That's
know
way up there, yeah.
Dave Rouse. That's his territory. I know it's
That's
a long
right.
way.
That's right.
I don't think he gets there every week. So,
Shout out to Dave Russ.
yeah, shout out to Dave Rouse. He's a good man.
He's on our podcast. He's officially famous.
Maybe he'll be our first guest.
He could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll
All
see.
right, sir.
All right, brother. Thank you for everything today. Thank you for your shares. It's always just wonderful to communicate with you and just you know,
Yeah.
talking about memories. Great stuff.
I
Love
think
it.
so too. And I look forward to the day we do one of these in person. I think we will someday. So,
We will. Absolutely.
all
Side
right.
by side. Okay, brother.
Love you.
Love you too. Have a great day.
See ya. Bye.